This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We have gone three wide. We have combined forces for the Monday episode and the Thursday episode to get you your first full bowl preview. Just a little programming note, as Matt Eumann's there, Adam Burke there, I am Tim Murray. We in totality will have four bowl previews and then a championship game preview. We will hit on every single bowl. We've already had a couple bowl previews. We've given out a couple plays. Matt Eumann's and I hit the ground running the day after the bowls were announced, tried to sneak in some numbers that we thought would move. Majority of them have moved, so we'll keep a running tally, and then we'll hit on some bowls certainly as we see the numbers fit right now. So before we get into the games, first game we'll hit Myrtle Beach Bowl. We're going to run through the bowl games of December 16th, this Saturday, all the way through Friday, December 22nd. For you guys, and Adam, I know you've been tabulating this on VSiN.com. How challenging has it been for you to kind of keep up to date with all of the opt-outs and when to pick and choose your spots to potentially fire on bets?
Yeah, it's been really difficult, especially because something I think is important to point out about the transfer portal is just because guys are in it doesn't mean that they will skip the bowl game. Some guys have already committed to other universities and all that, but some of these guys may still play. So they're in the portal, and then it's questionable as to whether or not they're going to play. And even in the first game here with Georgia Southern and Ohio, there are some significant players for the Bobcats that are in the portal. Some of them have committed elsewhere. Some of them haven't. So you also have to try to figure out who may play and who won't.
Matt, for you, we talked about it right after the bowls were announced, and that was the day that Kyle McCord hit the portal, the Ohio State quarterback, and we saw the line in that Cotton Bowl drop from Ohio State 6 to around 3, and now it's flipped all the way to the other side. So for you, do you find yourself trying to get positions on other sides of your initial bets to see if you could potentially middle some of these bowl games?
Not yet. It's too early. You got to find. You can almost wait till game day to find out who's going to be playing, or you know, a couple days before the game. Ohio State's best example because you got Missouri plus 3. If all these guys, Marvin Harrison Jr. and all the Buckeyes key players, say, "Hey, we're going to play in the bowl," then yeah, I'll probably come back with Ohio State if I can get plus 3 or something like that. Plus, who knows? You got live betting options too. You know, you don't have to bet it before kickoff. You can always live bet these games if you feel like you're exposed on a position that you bet early. But, yeah, I mean, this is unique. That first Monday, it was Kyle McCord, then it was Dylan Gabriel, then we found out Talen Green from Boise State, and all these quarterbacks going in the portal. So you have to be careful on how many bowl games you bet early. But I felt like, of five or six of the bowl games I did bet early, only one of them I have a little buyer's remorse on. So, you know, the rest of them I could get out of if I wanted to. We'll talk about one of the early bowls that I got a little bit of buyer's remorse on here.
Yeah, and we will get to that game, which I think you and I are in the same mindset there with the L.A. Bowl. But the more and more I dig into it, I actually don't feel that terrible for my initial position. And I think Matt makes a really good point. Look, we're doing our best to keep tabs on all the opt-outs that are out there. Adam's doing a great job over at VSiN.com. But I remember last year, guys, I got to the Vegas Bowl, Oregon State, Florida. I look over at a couple wide receivers. I'm like, they're not in uniform. Yeah, they weren't playing, and we didn't know it. So, you know, it is day of. You'll see things, so make sure you have social media ready to go. All right, let's jump into it. Let's get to the bowl games that we will be hitting on. We're going to go in chronological order today. So this game was supposed to be on Monday, December 18th, but due to construction at the Bahamas Bowl site, we had a flip of games here, and this game has moved to 11 a.m. Eastern. The Myrtle Beach Bowl at Coastal Carolina Stadium, the old surf turf. This will be Georgia Southern against Ohio. This opened, talk about movement, Ohio minus 2. It has flipped to Georgia Southern minus 3.5. Or 3, depending on where you look. DraftKings still has a 3. Let's start with this, Adam, since you've done a really good job of keeping tabs on the opt-outs. Ohio, ton of opt-outs for the Bobcats.
Yeah, a bunch of potential opt-outs, certainly. Curtis Rourke has already committed to Indiana, so he is definitely gone. Also, Ohio's top two running backs and their top wide receiver also in the transfer portal. I don't know if those guys have actually committed anywhere yet or not, but it was already going to be difficult for Ohio to keep up offensively here with a Georgia Southern team that, you know, is pretty good both running and passing, and also plays in a much better Sun Belt conference where, what are they, only two of the teams in the Sun Belt failed to be bowl eligible.
12 out of 14 are eligible.
And Ohio just doesn't face good offensive teams all that often. So I think it was going to be challenging anyway. I lean with Georgia Southern, especially with those transfer portal players for the Bobcats, but not a strong opinion for me out of the gate.
Yeah, no bet for me. This 11 a.m. Eastern, our colleague Stormy Bonatoni will be on the sidelines for this game. If you're in a pick 'em pool, I know a lot of people do those confidence pick 'em pools. I would put a little bit, you know, probably double digits on Georgia Southern here. Georgia Southern didn't finish the season all that strong, but I do think, guys, there's going to be motivation for Georgia Southern in this game. What they lost their last four games of the season there. But I'm curious, you know, for Ohio, guys, this is a team, as Adam mentioned, likely without their two top running backs, a couple of their wide receivers. Curtis Rourke is out. For Georgia Southern, lost their final four games of the season, lost to Texas State by 21, Marshall by 5, Old Dominion by 3, and then got smoked by App State by 28.
And also something else, you know, this applies to Boise State as well in their bowl game. The backup quarterback for Ohio is out. C.J. Harris had a medical emergency earlier this season. He's not playing. So Parker Navarro winds up being the starting quarterback for them in this game. Very, very lightly used. Was a fairly high recruit going to UCF, but hasn't really been used a whole lot in this offense. So they're effectively on their third string quarterback, a very unproven guy.
Matt, anything on the Myrtle Beach Bowl on Saturday?
One thing
Saturday.
I was going to say about Parker Navarro is he was a somewhat highly touted recruit, but he's only got 24 pass attempts in 4 years. But it wouldn't, you know, a guy like that could step in a bowl game and all of a sudden you say, oh, where'd he come from? He might light it up. You never know. He is facing a team that lost four consecutive games to finish the season, went from 6-2 to 6-6. And it's not too often you see a team on a four-game losing streak into a bowl favored by more than a field goal. It's interesting. DraftKings has the best number on this game at 3. Most books are at 3.5. I lean Georgia Southern. Because the Bobcats are so depleted, as you guys detailed there. But it's not a bet for me right now.
2:15 on Saturday, the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. And one of the two teams that were not eligible to get into a bowl, Jacksonville State, who did ultimately get in because we didn't have enough 6-6 teams. They are playing in this Rich Rod squad. They're laying 2.5. The opening number at Circa was 3.5. So we really haven't seen too much movement on this game because we haven't seen a ton of opt-outs. Adam, opt-out situation for this game is what? Jacksonville State currently a 2.5-point favorite against the Raging Cajuns.
Yeah, there's really not much in this game at all. Louisiana missing one of their top linebackers, Kendre Gant, which is important because Jacksonville State is a team that ran the football as much as anybody throughout the course of the season. That is something that the Gamecocks will look to do in this one. I will say I did like Louisiana plus the 3. Now that it's down to 2.5, it's a little bit weaker of a play for me. But I think when you look at the stats for these teams, you've got to keep in mind that Jacksonville State, I mean, they play in Conference USA. Liberty, good offense. New Mexico State, good offense. Other than that, the offenses in that conference stink. So their defensive numbers look good, but a lot of that has to do with the level of competition that they played, whereas, as we talked about already, the Sun Belt, only two teams failed to get the 6 wins. So even though the strength of schedules are about the same for these two teams, I think there's more belief in Louisiana's numbers, in my opinion.
Louisiana's also had success in this bowl, and I would lean that way, but you got to get to 3 if you're going to play it. And I have not played it, but I was talking with a couple of good sources in Louisiana, Tim, that you may know, Jimmy Ott and his co-host. And we were talking on their radio show. Both those guys like the Raging Cajuns catching the points here, and I'm not going to get into detailed analysis. I think this is one of those where if you're going to bet it, get the good number at plus 3 or pass.
2:15 Eastern at the Carrier Dome, not the Carrier Dome, the Superdome, whatever they're calling it these days down there.
The Carriers New Orleans.
Yeah, there you go. R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. Let's sneak in one more. The Avocados from Mexico Cure Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. Gotta love bowl sponsors. This game has Miami of Ohio versus Appalachian State. I do have a bet on this game. This game opened at App State minus 3. It has moved all the way up to some spots as high as 7 here in town. South Point does still have a 7. 6.5s are starting to come back, as we show right there at DraftKings. So the big note here, we know that Brett Gabbert lost for the season for Miami. Their starting quarterback, Avion Smith, was who stepped in, kind of a dual threat type of quarterback. He is in the transfer portal, not going to play in this game. I think the line has moved too much here, guys. I think Miami of Ohio are going to have the majority of their defense intact here. I like the Red Hawks. If you can get that 7, I'll take the 7, and I did with Miami of Ohio.
This was one of the biggest overlays of the bowl season for me, where I like Appalachian State. I have this closer to a double-digit line, in my opinion. I was curious to see if Joey Aguilar, the quarterback for the Mountaineers, would stay on the team or if he would go in the transfer portal, because he wound up having a really, really good season. It was one of the better passing seasons for the Mountaineers here in recent memory. Nate Noel is in the portal. He led the team in carries and rushing yards. Deshaun Davis, one of their number two, number three caliber wide receivers, also going to be out. But I just think App State's offense is too much for Miami of Ohio here, where, again, I'm looking to maybe fade the MAC here because there just weren't very many good offensive teams in that conference. I think App State will overwhelm them.
Red Hawks, number 7 in the nation in scoring defense, 16.2 points a game, held opponents to 20 points or fewer in 8 of the last 10 games. But look at the market adjustment on the total. I was going to say under the total, but the total's dropped all the way from 48 to 43. So at this point, you're a little bit late to the party if you like the under. Adam, I was going to say Avion Smith, it looks like he's in the portal and he's out. Is it going to be Henry Hessen at quarterback?
Hessen, yes. Looks like will be the guy there for Miami of Ohio. So we differ in opinions. I took the 7 with the Red Hawks, and it looks like Adam will be laying it with the boys from Boone. We're up and running. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, continuing to break down the games this Saturday, including the Los Angeles Bowl, where we've got Boise State against a uninterested UCLA team. And we keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We're going 3 wide, taking a look at the bowl games from December 16th through December 22nd. We will have another bowl preview next week, looking at the bowl games from December 23rd all the way through the 28th. Also next week, Matt Eumanns and I will take a look at the New Year's 6 games in the college football playoff. We'll hit on that towards the end of this episode, but let's keep it rolling. This Saturday, we have 6 bowl games in totality. We've already hit the Myrtle Beach Bowl, the New Orleans Bowl, and the Cure Bowl, the Avocados from Mexico Cure Bowl, which will take place in Orlando. If you can get a 7, which you could get earlier on Thursday, I would take that with Miami, but at 6.5 probably would be a pass for me, but official play. But Adam likes the other side. He likes the boys from Boone in that one. Matt, at that point, just to put a bow on the Cure Bowl, at 43, pass for you on the total?
Yeah, when a 48 was the opener, even if you played it under 45, I could still say that's okay. But once you get down to 43, I got to pass.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the Isleta. I don't know what that is, but New Mexico Bowl. I know what that is, and this is played at the Lobo Stadium there in Albuquerque. And New Mexico State will be on one side of the field, the Fighting Jerry Kills, as they are a 3.5-point favorite against Fresno State. Adam, looking at the opt-outs really for me aren't that notable. It's who will be missing from the sideline, and that'll be Jeff Tedford. He is not going to be coaching in this game.
Yeah, Jeff Tedford out for health reasons. And the big question about this game kind of held this line hostage for a long time. Was Diego Pavia going to play for New Mexico State? Now the team has gotten to Albuquerque for the game. By the way, New Mexico State in Las Cruces, not in Albuquerque. They've gotten to the site of the bowl game. Diego Pavia says he's going to go. Not a big surprise to see this line kind of inching up a little bit with that knowledge that he'll be able to go.
You know, Fresno State was 8-1, Matt, and we were on the show and we said, I don't know, something's off. And I think both of you and I took San Jose State in that late night Saturday spot. And that kind of started the crater for Fresno State. They dropped their last 3 games. They go 8-4. Now Jeff Tedford's not going to be coaching in this game. Obviously, we've missed the best number, 3, which is what it opened at circa. It's at 3.5. How do you look at the New Mexico Bowl on Saturday night?
Well, I did play New Mexico State money line here. And actually, reading about this game, and I had to research it because because I was writing it up for vsin.com. Looks like a big crowd of Aggies fans are going to be making the trip up from Las Cruces to Albuquerque. More than 30,000 fans expected at this game, which that's significant for the New Mexico Bowl.
Sure.
And most of those are going to be New Mexico State fans who are trying to set the bowl record for attendance. So I think that counts for a little bit. But the big thing is, like Adam mentioned, Diego Pavia says he's going to play. Jerry Kill said he's going to play. And that's a quarterback who's accounted for 32 touchdowns, 26 passing, 6 rushing. If you look at him, he doesn't look like a real impressive physical specimen, but the kid can play. He finds ways to get it done. And one problem he's got is number 2 receiver Trent Hudson. Looks like he has opted out. He's entered the transfer portal, and there's 8 players on the Aggies side who have entered the portal. Speaking of Jeff Tedford, I do think that's significant that he's not coaching and preparing this team for the bowl game. And again, it's a team that really hit the skids down the stretch. I think a lot of that had to do with injuries to Mikey Keene, starting quarterback, and you know, Logan Fife, the backup, is just I'd say a significant step down.
And he's in the portal. So if Mikey Keene does get banged up, which has happened often this year, they're going to have to go to the third stringer because Fife is not going to be there.
So Mikey Keene, I was trying to look. It was San Jose State, New Mexico, and San Diego State. That's who it was, Tim. Yep. After that, San Jose lost New Mexico and San Diego State.
Yeah.
And that was the last game for Brady Hoke as coach of the Aztecs. I was on San Diego State in that game. But I think this Fresno team's got a lot of problems. All the motivation is with New Mexico State. I don't like some of the opt-outs on the Aggie side, but you got to deal with that. And pretty much, if you were going to let opt-outs scare you, you would probably not bet any of these bowl games. So you can't be too scared off by that aspect. Jerry Kill did coach the Aggies to win over Bowling Green in last year's Quick Lane Bowl. 3.5, I don't think that price is a bargain. I played New Mexico State in the money line, but I do like that side.
Yeah, I played a little money line as well. Not going to be an official play for the podcast, but I did take New Mexico State. If you want to throw it in a money line parlay or something like that here on this Saturday, I wouldn't be opposed to that. But, yeah, I question Fresno State too. Adam, they also, you know, I do wonder about some of these teams. You think they want to travel. And as Matt, you hit on, New Mexico State wants to be at this bowl game. Like, and from what I understand, they were trying to be in this bowl game last year, then they got shipped out to Detroit, and they were able to beat Bowling Green in that Quick Lane Bowl. So I think they want to be here. Fresno State played in this bowl game 2 years ago. It was that weird situation where Jake Haener went in the portal, came out of the portal, didn't play that game, and then he, you know, came back for 2022, and they went on to win the conference. So this is a Fresno State team, as Matt mentioned, lost their last 3 games. 2 of those opponents weren't very good. Got blown out by San Jose State. Their head coach isn't going to be there. They were just in this bowl game. They won the conference last year. I think the motivation is clearly on New Mexico State's side. So, yeah, New Mexico State on the money line for me.
And I think one other thing that you can consider in this game is possibly a live betting angle, second half betting angle. Albuquerque is over 5,000 feet in sea level. And I know that Fresno State plays in the Mountain West, but if they're not prepping and taking it seriously for this game, maybe those guys aren't in tip-top game shape. So maybe that's something that kind of hurts them negatively in the second half, especially with some of the guys that they're missing and guys who maybe don't play as much kind of getting more of a look.
All right, let's get to the L.A. Bowl, sponsored somehow by Gronk or something like that. I don't know. He's going to be there apparently. But 7:30 on ABC, this is the new Vegas Bowl. And what I mean by that is the Mountain West champion playing a team from the Pac-12. That used to be the tie-in for the Vegas Bowl when they played at Sam Boyd Stadium. Now it is the L.A. Bowl at SoFi Stadium. It's got UCLA versus Boise State. This opened UCLA -2 and has got all the way out to -5. A lot to do with the quarterback situation. Boise State, Talon Green has hit the transfer portal. He is headed to Arkansas. For UCLA, Adam, let's hit on their opt-outs here. Latu, the defensive player of the year in the Pac-12, is not going to play in this game. And also something to note, and this is not official yet, but Carson Steele has not been seen at practice the past couple of days, so it's unknown his status for this game. UCLA opt-out-wise, what are we looking at?
Yeah, so, I mean, it does seem like Carson Steele maybe won't be around. Definitely Latu. That's a huge loss for them, no matter who plays at quarterback for Boise State. Some other players, Carson Ryan, one of their tight ends. They got a couple of guys on defense that played a lot, a couple of starters in the secondary. But, again, I mean, this line has still kind of run out. on the UCLA side, even with losing D'Anton Lynn, their defensive coordinator. So that tells you kind of what the quarterback situation looks like for Boise State in this game. I will say, when they named that Spencer Danielson was going to be the full-time head coach and took the interim tag off, the team was very fired up. Yep. So I think they show up here. I just don't know if their talent is enough to help them against UCLA.
All right, so this is where I got a little buyer's remorse. I did not anticipate Talen Green opting out and transferring, and I bet Boise +3 early. I went ahead and bet Boise again a little bit at +4.5. That accumulates to basically a one-unit bet. Now I see today that Circa, which is a sharp book, has bumped the line up to UCLA -5. So I'm not crazy about this, the way this is developing right now. And I read that, you know, C.J. Tiller is going to get to start for the Broncos, talking about that cloudy quarterback picture for Boise State. The next pass attempt by Tiller will be his first in college. He's taken 2 snaps, a handoff and a kneel down. So a little bit concerned about that situation. But I was looking initially with the bets, I was looking to fade UCLA. D'Anton Lynn, defensive coordinator, leaves for USC. You guys just mentioned a lot, too. The best defensive player is going to opt out of this bowl. What's the motivation level for the Bruins in this game? I'm not really sure why the sharp money is pouring on that side, unless it's just all the negativity about the Boise quarterback situation. I thought Boise was, like Adam mentioned, a totally different team after the coaching change. It was a bet-on Boise team, and that's kind of the approach I was taking into this bowl. Chip Kelly still has not won a bowl game since he's been coach at UCLA. Blew the Sun Bowl last year. He and Dorian Thompson-Robinson blew that game in the fourth quarter. Maybe that's motivation for Kelly to finally win a bowl game. But I like the Broncos a little bit here, getting the points.
It's going to be an official play for me. And our graphic will show at the end of the show, 4.5. You can get the 5. I hate going against line moves. I don't do it often, but I'm doing it here. I think Boise State is going to be very motivated. As you mentioned, Spencer Danielson is going to be the full-time head coach. They kept Bush Hamden, the offensive coordinator, so he's not going anywhere. Yes, the quarterback position scares me, but let's be honest. You know, last game of the season, Cal smoked this UCLA team, and Ethan Garbers, it was like a yo-yo for him in and out of the lineup. He's going to get the start, so it's a double play for me. I'm taking Boise State plus the points, and I'm playing the game under. I think UCLA's defensive front still should be solid. I would imagine Boise State guys with Genty and Helani both playing in this bowl game will both be, they'll be running the ball a decent amount. So for me, a double play. Before we hit the break, 10 seconds, Adam, what do you got?
Yeah, real quick, C.J. Tiller from Rancho Cucamonga did not get an offer from UCLA.
Motivation,
there,
baby. Broncos, let's go. Let's get the city of Boise to take over LA on Saturday night. What about Shreveport, Louisiana on Saturday night? We got Cal and Texas Tech. Come on back. It's the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We keep it rolling here on VSiN Prime Time alongside, not VSiN Prime Time. We'll edit it out post-production. Oh, wait, we're doing this live. Oh, it's the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Matt Humans, Adam Burke, and Tim Murray with you at Matt Humans 247, at Skating Tripods, at 1 Tim Murray. Make sure you head to vsin.com. All the opt-out information courtesy of Adam, write-ups galore for every single bowl game as the bowl season starts on Saturday, and it will wrap up. Ladies and gentlemen, 9:15 Eastern, the Independence Bowl down in Shreveport, Louisiana. After my show, VSiN Primetime, on Friday night, I will hop a jet and fly to Shreveport, Louisiana. I will be on the sidelines for said bowl game. And Cal winning their final 3 games of the year to get eligible for this bowl. And Texas Tech lost their last game by 50, but beat UCF in a good spot when you should have taken money line and not laid the 2.5 with Texas Tech against UCF as they won that game 24-23. So a pair of 6-6 teams. Cal very excited to be in this bowl game. Hard to tell what Texas Tech, their motivation angle is, because they were kind of a chic team to be playing in this one. Opt-out wise, Adam, let's hit on this one. What are we looking at for Cal and Texas Tech?
Yeah, this is one of the messier of the early bowl games here. You got a couple of defensive opt-outs for Cal. Leading tackler.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll just go with that. Their linebacker, leading tackler. And then one of their top defensive backs, Jeremiah Irby. And then for Texas Tech, Tyler Shuck, he goes into the portal. He is at
Tyler Shuck went to Louisville.
Louisville, yeah. And then their top two wide receivers, Duran Bradley and Miles Price, both going to be out, as well as some of the offensive linemen. And we talk a lot about the skill position guys, but there are some bowl games here where teams could be without two, maybe three starting offensive linemen. And this is one where Texas Tech, it appears, will be missing a very important piece here in potentially their left guard, who hasn't played since week five, and then also their starting left tackle, Monroe Mills. So this is one where Texas Tech, they're hurting at the skill positions and on the offensive line.
Yeah, one note for Cal, their offensive coordinator has moved on. So Jake Spavital, 1 year at Cal after he failed as the head coach of Texas State, he has headed back to the state of Texas. He will be the Baylor offensive coordinator, and Cal did promote from within. The co-offensive coordinator has been promoted to OC. Sterling Gilbert has come in as their new quarterbacks coach. So a little bit of coaching movement there. Joey McGuire is the head coach over at Texas Tech, year number two for him. Some positive news. No opt-outs here. Jaden Ott, no relation to Jimmy, is going to play in this game. He's a true sophomore, a stud, leading runner, leading rusher, that is, in the Pac-12. And Taj Brooks, I think much to the surprise of many, I think third leading rusher in the entire NCAA. He is returning for Texas Tech next year. I tell you what, Texas Tech, I think they've got some money because they are hitting the portal hard, and they will be bringing back Taj Brooks, 1,443 rushing yards, 8 100-yard games, including a buck 82 against UCF. So a first-team All-Big 12 contributor there. How about this? 2004, a little history. Cal and Texas Tech played each other in the Holiday Bowl, and Texas Tech pulled the upset against Aaron Rodgers when Cal was not happy. You're talking about motivation in 2004. They thought they should have been in the Rose Bowl. They were not. They lose in the Holiday Bowl 45-31. So these two teams actually have played before in a bowl game, and it took place in the Holiday Bowl in 2004. Right now, Matt, you see Texas Tech as a 3-point favorite in this game. It opened Texas Tech -1. What's your feel on the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl?
I'm a little bit disappointed in some of these bowl names this year. And that's one of them. The Pop-Tarts Bowl, come on. We got to do better than some of these bowl names that we're coming up with now. And what was the other one we were talking about last week? It was like the 68 Ventures Bowl. And I don't know. I here's what I'll say about Texas Tech. It looked like a high school team when the Red Raiders got beat 57-7 by Texas in Austin at the end of the year. I hated the way this team finished the year. You got a lot of opt-outs, as you've talked about here. Cal's got a couple concerning factors in this game, too. I'm trying to convince myself that Cal +3 is the play. I have not pulled the trigger on this yet, but a lot of the things you guys talked about are a lot of the points I'm considering here. And I think right now it's a lean Cal +3. It might be a bet for me by the time we get to the kickoff.
Fernando Mendoza, the quarterback for Cal, he's really done a pretty good job since stepping in the full-time role there for the Golden Bears. I've been impressed. I mean, this is a season where you had Sam Jackson the fifth starting some games. You had Ben Finley, I think. But once Mendoza got in there and they won their last three games, they had some exciting games down the stretch. We talked about the UCLA game, the game-winning field goal against Washington State that kept their bowl hopes alive. So, this has been a fun team to watch down the stretch. They could put up some points. The defense, oddly enough, with the Justin Wilcox led team at him, has been a bit shaky at times, but certainly Cal was very motivated to get to bowl eligibility. And I heard this nugget, has no bearing when it comes to gambling, but I thought it was fun, courtesy of the Bear, Chris Felica. The last team from the state of California to win a bowl game, Cal, 2019. So it has been not great.
Are you serious?
Yes. Wow. Courtesy of the Bear. Okay. So, Adam, any thoughts on this one? No bet for me. I would lean Cal, but no bet for me on this one.
No, nothing for me either. Like I said, I mean, this is a very messy game in terms of the portal and opt-outs. And look, I mean, you've got two very, very good running backs on each side. So does this just become kind of a running clock type of game where you just give it to your best player on offense and hope that they make the difference?
Yeah, two really pretty good running backs in this game.
We've talked about a team going into the bowl off a blowout loss, and that was UCLA. It'll be interesting to see if Cal carries that momentum from that 33-7 win against the Bruins into the bowl game. That's Well, I'm kind of considering Cal plus three here. When are we going to get to the famous Toastery Bowl?
Let's do it right now, Matt. Okay. I know you've been itching to get to the Hilltoppers versus Monarch Showdown famous Toastery Bowl.
Is this one a better name?
No.
I didn't know what famous toastery was. I thought it was just a fancy name for a toaster. But apparently it's a breakfast joint in the South,
right.
Matt. So you could maybe speak to famous toastery.
I'm surprised that Cracker Barrel does not sponsor this bowl. Right? Cracker Barrel's a bigger name.
I love Cracker Barrel. That's tremendous. A little Bob Evans bowl, that just rolls off the tongue. But instead we got the famous toastery bowl. It'll be on Monday, Monday, December 18th. This was in Charlotte, but it's not at the Panther Stadium. It's at Charlotte University Stadium, Jerry Richardson Field. We have a spread of Old Dominion laying 2.5 against the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky. This game opened a pick at Circa, so we've seen Monarchs money come in, and some of that might have to do with opt-out situations for the Hilltoppers.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack for this game. This was supposed to be the bowl game in the Bahamas, and no offense to Charlotte, which is a town I've greatly enjoyed when I've gone there. That's not exactly Nassau down in the Bahamas. So, you know, we'll see which one of these two teams, or if either of these teams, are excited to be here. But Western Kentucky, yeah, I mean, they have potentially three starters on the offensive line. Quantavius Leslie is likely gone. He's a guy who's going to get an NIL bag from a Power 5 program. Vincent Murphy and Wes Dorsey. So three guys on the offensive line potentially out here for Western Kentucky. Malachi Corley says he's going to play. Apparently he's all in. That's a huge addition for Western Kentucky that I wouldn't have expected them to have. But they've been very non-committal on Austin Reed actually starting this game at quarterback. So a lot of question marks for Western Kentucky in this game. Also, I just think Old Dominion, a program that doesn't go bowling all that often, I think they're going to be the much more motivated team here. They don't have losses. Ricky Ronnie, I think, is a really good head coach. I like the Monarchs here in this game.
I didn't play this game. I don't disagree with his opinion on the Monarchs. And I would say that whoever wins this bowl game, I'll take that team plus three against the Carolina Panthers.
By the way, no play for me, but if you think back to the last weekend of the season and if you were doing the who will get bowl eligible game, Old Dominion was down 21-0 at halftime, 24-14 with like 3 minutes to go, and found a way to beat Georgia State. They scored a touchdown as the clock expired, 25-24, to beat Georgia State, one of the craziest finishes of the regular season. All right, let's sneak one more in. The Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl, Tuesday, December 19th, 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Frank Harris, I believe, is going to exhaust his eligibility in this game. That is, that is from my understanding. UTSA, one of the biggest favorites in all of bowl season, laying 13. We got about a minute here, Adam. If we need extra time, we could still hit on the Scooters Frisco Bowl, Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl on the other side. But opt-out wise, what are we looking at here?
Yeah, UTSA, their best defensive player, edge rusher Trey Moore, is going to be out for this one. A lot of sacks for that guy. He's actually tied for third in the country.
Could be going to
sacks.
Ohio State.
I'd be very happy with that. But Marshall's missing their starting quarterback, Cam Fancher, here. He's got a lot of their pass attempts. In fact, he's 11 of their 12 passing touchdowns. A wide receiver has the other passing touchdown. So that's why this line has moved so much. Marshall not going to have their starting quarterback and also missing one of their top linemen.
Yeah, location, motivation, a 10th-year starting quarterback for UTSA. A lot of things in a Roadrunner's advantage.
Has Frank Harris gotten his doctorate yet there at the University of Texas, San Antonio? Jeff Traylor, still going to be their head coach. Yeah, Roadrunners probably should be your most confident play, or one of, if you're in a confidence pool out there for bowl season. All right, we'll wrap things up. Got two more bowls to hit on. Best bet recap. It's the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, the first of four bowl preview episodes. We have already done two, little Army-Navy there last week, myself and Adam Burke, and then Matt Humans and I jumped right in as the bowl games were announced early last week, gave out some early bets. So we're going to have a rolling file, as you'll see at the end of the show here, of bets that we gave out earlier in the bowl season. They were up on VSiN.com/picks, and now we'll have some new bets as well. But we just wrapped up the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. Anyone ever been to Scooters Coffee? No?
Never.
No one out there? All right.
I just want to know where Famous Toastery is going to rank on the fast food rankings next year. Maybe it's not fast food.
Not in the top 100.
Real,
never been there. Never heard of it until this.
Is it
season.
Fast food? Huh? That's what I want to know. I don't know if it's fast food. Real quickly, you know, a lot of people do the confidence picks, right? You go from 41 down to 1. How high for you guys would UTSA be in if you're doing a confidence pool, whether it's, you know, ESPN.com or wherever it may be?
Well, let me find it here because I actually wrote that for our free college football betting guide.
Baby.
I'd say it's got to be in your top three. First off, I can't believe Jeff Traylor is still at UTSA. I thought he was going to get the job, maybe the Houston job.
Yeah, Willie Fritz got that job instead, and that's why you see Tulane as a north of a touchdown underdog at against Virginia Tech in the Military Bowl.
I actually had it with a 28, so I had it a little bit lower. Although at the time, to be fair, I didn't know that Cam Fancher was going to be out for Marshall. I expected that they would actually have their quarterback. So that is the difficult thing about, you know, kind of doing a confidence pool article right after the bowl matchups are announced. Guys wind up not playing in the game. So that'll kind of change everything.
By the way, if you want to feel old, Chad Pennington's son will be starting this game. Cole Pennington, who looks exactly like Chad Pennington.
Nice.
That is his son. That is for sure. We will see. I also would keep an eye. I don't think he's opted out yet, but I would keep an eye on Rasheen Ali if he will play in this game for Marshall. So I would have UTSA, at number one or top three or four there if you're playing in those confidence pools out there. All right, two more bowl games we'll hit on. By the way, Adam and I will get back together early next week. We will take a look at the bowls on December 23rd through Christmas, and then on the other side to around the 28th. Matt Humans and I will get together next week as well for the college football playoff, an early look at those games and the New Year's Six. But two bowl games. Let's go to Thursday, December 21st, the roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl. And, you know, we've been talking about Tommy DeVito all the time this week. Tommy Cutlets there. Nunzio Campanile will be the interim head coach for Syracuse this week as he is stepping in for Dino Babers, who has shown the door for Syracuse. By the way, this is South Florida's first bowl game since 2018. South Florida is catching 3 in this game. Looking back at where this game opened, it's actually been Syracuse money that has come in. It opened -1 at Circa. It is now at -3. Opt-out-wise, how are we looking in this one, Adam?
Not a whole lot, honestly, and I'm kind of surprised. I really expected Byron Brown, the starting quarterback for South Florida, to be taken by some Power 5 team in the portal, but that hasn't been the case. Maybe South Florida's got a lot of money there in the Tampa area in their NIL collective. I don't know, but for Syracuse, their leading edge rusher, Leon Lowry Jr., is out. And, of course, as you mentioned, you know, Dino Babers fired earlier on in the season. Not that that's a opt-out, although, I don't know, the way the Syracuse's season was going, we could say he opted out of it. But for South Florida, I mean, again, keeping Byron Brown, which I don't think is something that people really expected, I like the Bulls here in this game.
Yeah, I would. I have not played this game. It's on my short list of looking at if you're looking for some dogs. I think South Florida is going to be incredibly motivated to play in this game. Alex Golish in his first year as South Florida's head coach. Obviously, the AAC was a bit down this year, so they benefited from that and winning their final game. But I would look Bulls or pass. There's really no way I could get behind the orange in this one. There,
same Matt. Thing, dog or pass with this game, because I think all the motivation's got to be with the Bulls and also the location in Boca Raton favors South Florida. This total, I'm a little bit surprised the total is this high at 61, but it's been bet up from 57 to 61.
Well, it might be a lot of snowbirds from, you know, upstate New York down in South Florida. They're looking to go to this game, but on the point with Brown, almost 4,000 total yards for him, 34 total touchdowns, and this is an offense that likes to run with some tempo too. So I think South Florida could give Syracuse some fits in this game.
This used to be the Cherubundi Boca Raton Bowl. Now it's the roofclaim.com. I didn't know what Cherubundi was.
It's like a tart cherry juice or something like that.
Sure, why not? Yeah, all right, let's wrap up our previews, and then we'll hit on our best bet recap and a couple bowl games that might be added to the list of humans' bets. Friday, December 22nd, 6:30 on ESPN, the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. This will be taking place at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Georgia Tech, and Central Florida. Central Florida in this game laying, we'll call it 4.5 consensus at Circa as time of record. It is at 4. This has been a game that, as we look at the opener, has not really moved. It got, I think, as high as 6, but opened at circa 4, and it still sits at 4. Georgia Tech, UCF. Last year, UCF was a big fade for me in bowl season because they lost in the AAC championship. They were playing a Duke team that was very, very motivated to be playing in the Military Bowl, and UCF got absolutely waxed. Now, this is a situation where UCF has left the AAC. They're now in the Big 12, so this is a Power 5 conference game. I kind of like the dog here in Georgia Tech a little bit. Brent Key, year number one there for the Rambling Wreck. They found a way into a bowl game, played really competitively with Georgia to wrap up the regular season, had some interesting wins, including a win over North Carolina. So another game, kind of like we just talked about with the Boca Raton Bowl, where I look dog or pass real quickly at him, opt-out situation for this one.
Yeah, a couple for Georgia Tech. Edge rusher Kyle Kennard led the team in sacks with 6. Nobody on the Georgia Tech side had more than 2.5 outside of him. Also starting corner Keenan Johnson is out. For UCF, Corey Thornton, one of their top corners, he's in the transfer portal for this one. I think, you know, it was interesting that Matt brought up in the previous game with Syracuse and South Florida. You know, South Florida gets to go. They're playing in Boca Raton. It's still, you know, in the state of Florida. I don't think UCF is excited to go and play in Tampa here. In this game, I think that they're a program, they kind of expect more going to a bigger, higher profile bowl game. So this is one where maybe proximity to home is a bit of a negative as opposed to a positive.
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes players do want to go away from home.
Yeah.
And that might be the case with UCF. I think there are a few positives here with Georgia Tech, team that won 3 of the past 5, played Georgia to 31-23 game. And I'm not the biggest Haynes King fan. But he's a volatile quarterback, but he has the potential to do some damage here. So he's got 35 total touchdowns this season. I actually think this is another dog or pass type game. I have not bet this, but the best number is at DraftKings if you want to grab the 5 with the Yellow Jackets.
All right, final couple minutes as we always do to wrap up the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We do our best bet recap. So, Matt, go ahead with your best bet recap, and also we will point out the bets that we have already made throughout the bowl season, as we have already noted these on previous installments of the podcast.
Yeah, this is I'm going to start off with the game we talked about with Boise and UCLA. I'm going to stick with the bet on Boise State. A little buyer's remorse here. I've got bets on a half unit at +3 and a half unit at +4.5. So I'm going to stick with Boise and L.A. Bowl. Gronk is going to sing the national anthem.
All right.
Tim, so that's one reason for you to tune in. You talked about confidence picks.
Yeah.
San Jose State might be at the top of my list.
I agree.
I think Coastal Carolina is going to show up with a skeleton crew. You've got all the motivation with the Spartans and quarterback Siobhan Cordero. I did bet this at 8. I was hoping the line would open 6.5. I was not that lucky. We can't make our own opening numbers. It opened 7.5. I bet at 8. It's up to 10. I would still lay 10. I think San Jose State wins big against Coastal. Louisville, USC under 58. Obviously, we don't know what the USC offense is going to look like, but it's probably not going to be that dynamic, and the Louisville defense is legit. Arizona -3. Dylan Gabriel opts out on the other side. Jackson Arnold's going to be the quarterback for Oklahoma in that bowl game, but you got to love the way Jed Fish and the Wildcats played in the second half of the season. Missouri, I got a +3. At this point, too late to the party, like I said, but we'll talk about that game a little bit more next week. Ole Miss +4 against Penn State. Wyoming, you got a great coach going out in his final game. That's simply my play there on the Cowboys. And Washington +4.5 in the playoff against Texas.
All right, I'll run through mine real quick as we wrap it up here. I have added a couple, so I am with Matt on Boise State taking the 4.5. I'm also on the under in this game, under 49. And I took the 7 with Miami. If there is a 7 still out there, when we submitted the picks, there was a 7. I'm on the opposite side of Adam there, but I took the 7 with the Redhawks. Under Alabama, Michigan, 45.5. And then previous plays, San Jose State, Notre Dame, Oregon State, under 46.5, Rutgers +4. Adam, we got a couple seconds to go. Your plays from this bowl round.
Yeah, I'm a deadbeat. I didn't get them sent in for a cool graphic, so shame on me. I do like Alabama as a dog against Michigan. I'm not impressed with Michigan's offense at all. I think the Crimson Tide will definitely you know, take care of that Michigan offense in that game. And the Wolverines haven't seen a running quarterback like Milroe. I really like the two plays that Matt has. Ole Miss plus the points. I don't believe in James Franklin against any opponent of consequence. And then that Wyoming one, not only Craig Bull, but also Toledo's Daquan Finn in the portal.
This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Back next week.